following program is a presentation of the Options Insider Radio Network. For more programs, visit www.theoptionsinsider.com or search for Options Insider Radio in iTunes. Now for the expert source for inside information on the options markets. It's time for Options Insider Radio with your host, Mark Longo.
Welcome back to Options Insider Radio and our series of live episodes from the Futures Industry Expo in Chicago. And we are joined by yet another newcomer to the program. This is one of the reasons why I like the FIA shows so much, is that we get to have such a constant stream of newcomers to the show and newcomers to the program. And our next guest is Robert Krause. He is the chairman and CEO of Volex. Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And you are definitely one of the people we had on our list, because ever since I've got to the show, it's been nothing but Volex, Volex, Volex in my ear. Have you seen the Volex booth? Have you talked to the Volex guys? Have you seen their actual Vol product? And so, yeah, it's been quite a talk. In fact, we do another program on our network that is a more trading-oriented program, and some of the people came on there about a month ago saying, we've heard rumors of this volatility exchange coming. And so your product and your exchange has been whispered in the ether around me for some time now, so it's nice to actually sit down and have a chance to chat with you face-to-face and put a face to all the rumors I've been hearing.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to meet you. I've, you know, listened to your show many times, so it's nice.
Flattery will get you everywhere, Robert, so by all means. But yeah, you know, this is actually, like I said, is something that we're very interested in. But before I even get ahead of myself, because this is your first appearance on the show and our first time talking about Volex for our listeners, why don't you start giving us a little bit of an overview of what Volex does, and then we'll get into maybe some of your background, the options business, and how you found your way to running a volatility exchange.
Yeah, so exactly. The Volex stands for the Volatility Exchange, and we are trying to register that as a new entity. The interesting thing about it is, you know, in the past, it used to be that exchanges would chop up the world's assets into groups. You know, NYMEX would trade crude, and the Board of Trade would trade grains, and CME would trade livestock. And now we have a product which is really not a new asset, but a new instrument. And that instrument could be traded on any underlying asset. It could be an asset, it could be a futures contract, it could be an ETF, it could be a stock, an index. So we could really span the world's asset with our exchange. So it's hard to put us in a box, you know, create one exchange that trades everything all over the world. And so what that's going to necessitate us to do is to partner with several other entities to actually get this done. And so what we've decided to do is make sure that everybody has connectivity. That's going to be the key to actually get this launched. If we started a new exchange, everybody'd sit back and say, well, you know, as soon as you guys build some volume, then we'll spend the money and connect to your exchange. But if we can partner with existing exchanges, they already have the connectivity. All we have to do is, you know, a trader would type in a new symbol and they'd be up and running from day one. So that's our goal. That will necessitate us having several partnerships. But in the end, we would like to control the message, control the product, define the product. We certainly don't want it like the HD, DVD, and, you know, Blu-ray disc problem. You know, we want to define the formula. Here's how we're going to trade realized volatility. And then it doesn't matter whether you're trading $1 million euro dollars or a stock or chickens. The formula is the same. As soon as you understand it, you will know how it works and how it should react.
I want to get into all of that, the nuances of the product, and I know a lot of our listeners are very excited to hear about that. But running a volatility exchange is a rather specialized field. How did you find yourself falling into this very specific niche within the derivatives world?
Well, I actually, my first job out of college was at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So we were in the marketing department and developing new products, teaching people how options work, teaching cattlemen how to hedge their livestock production, and all kinds of very interesting avenues in the derivatives area. But I've been in this industry for 25 years. I also worked at Morgan Stanley in the quantitative strategies group and in institutional equity. So I've seen it from the traditional asset side, from the derivative side, from the buy side and the sell side. I was a CTA at one point. And then I was even in the middle, you know, the buy side, the sell side, and the middle being at an exchange. So I've gathered all of that information together, or all that experience, and we put together a group of super people that could really make this exchange work.
So it sounds like you've been all over the derivatives world these days. So you have maybe a unique viewpoint on some of these products. And speaking of products, I want to dive now into this product, because obviously, as you know, having launched an exchange in this field, volatility is the hot buzzword these days. If I look at the email, the forum post, the general influx of questions and comments we receive, and going to events like this and talking to users, and just all across the board, the vast majority are centered around some sort of volatility question. And for a lot of our listeners, I would think, for better or for worse, they've come to know the VIX, and the VIX is kind of their benchmark / bellwether for volatility. But a lot of our more nuanced users have encountered some issues with that. Obviously, the VIX is an implied product based on the implied volatility of the S&P 500 contract. So you're getting a forward-looking 30-day prediction of where volatility is going to be for the coming days. And for a lot of traders, that isn't what they're looking for. You know, they really want something more of a realized, actual type of volatility product. And we received a lot of requests over the years and questions about when or if someone will ever create such a product. And now it seems like you've gotten the same email I have, because you have stepped into the void to fill it. So let's get into that then, a little bit of more of the nuances of what you're calling them. Vol contracts, is that what it is? Or
that's correct, one word all crushed together. Vol contracts is our trademarked name for the product. And vol contracts are futures-like instruments. They trade just like a futures contract. You buy volatility at 20, it goes up to 30, you make 10 points. It's a linear construct. So that's the idea of a vol contract. We would actually like to get into other avenues like vol swaps and vol shares, and we'll talk about that, you know, the next time I'm on my show, or on your show.
Hey, you can take over our show whenever you like. Feel free. We'll call it the Volatility Exchange Show.
There you go. But vol contracts is where we're going to concentrate our efforts. It's based in the CFTC world, and that's faster to the market. Mm-hmm. We can get our products up and running quickly. And on that note, our first product will be launched in the euro currency with the CME. We just announced that 2 days ago, and that will come out in February. So we will have vol contracts on the euro currency on the CME. It was just a license agreement to get it going. It will be listed on Globex, so you'll have instant connectivity if you have connectivity to the CME or to the Globex system.
And now, go ahead.
Okay, so let's get to exactly what is the contract. We can contrast that with the VIX, but first you need to understand what trading on realized volatility means, or exactly how we define what a vol contract is. So just to make it simple, let's talk about whole months. Now, you know, we're going to expire when the options expire to make it easy for an options trader to hedge. But, just for this quick example, it's easier to talk about whole months. And let's just assume that we're going to expire at the end of the month. So it's now November. And let's suppose that the underlying was, let's pick an asset, gold. Okay, so if we're using gold futures as the underlying, and it expires on November 30th, then on November 1st, we would have, we would look at the settlement price of gold, and we would have then one data point. We don't care about the high and the low and the open and any of the trading within the day, just the settlement price of gold on the 1st of November. And then the 2nd of November, we look at the settlement price, and we now have two data points. And we continue through the month of November until we have all trading days, which is approximately 20 or 21 trading days for the month of November. We then plug that, all those settlement prices, into a standard deviation calculation. It's similar that you could find in the back of any high school statistics book. It's the same. It's practically the same formula that you that they settle volatility swaps and variance swaps in the over-the-counter market. It's all of those instruments that trade in the OTC market are settling to realize volatility. So it's practically the same version. And what we're trying to do is just standardize the formula and settle all contracts and whether, like we said, whether it's, you know, $1 million euro dollar or a currency or a stock or a chicken contract, it doesn't matter. It would be the same formula and the same method. So back to the contract again. So now on November 30th, we settle and expire the futures contract to the volatility of gold, intraday gold futures prices for the month of November. So you would set, you would then capture that volatility. Before November, we could trade long before November. It doesn't have to start on November 1st. We could maybe start trading in May. And then May, June, July, August, September, October, everybody would be trying to forecast where November volatility would be for the gold contract.
Estimates of realized vol before
right.
it starts trading.
And then the game kind of changes when you get into November, because now as you go through the month, more and more of the information to settle this contract is known. So it will start converging to the price by expiration.
That's one of the interesting questions I had. And one of the things we've heard a lot is about how would you actually have a, you know, intraday trading realized vol contract. I've heard people toss around the idea of maybe a binary product where it would be, you know, pretty much yes, no, to the end of the month what the realized vol was. I haven't heard any people coming along the same approach you have where actually a realized intraday trading product that people could trade without having to wait for the month to start. Interesting approach. As you start getting the data points, then you can start really honing in on what the vol is for that month. And well, before we even get into that, then you mentioned you want to partner with the exchanges. One of the key stumbling blocks in the past to a lot of these new products, we like talking about the VIX all the time, but I know for the VIX, Cboe almost had to force firms to sit in there and actually start making markets on this product. No one wanted to be the layoff person for SPX volatility for everyone else on the floor.
Right.
And so one of the difficulties we see with all these new products is finding liquidity. So with these partners with the exchanges, are they going to actually provide liquidity providers for these contracts, as well as how are you going to find the initial pool of liquidity to get the contracts up and running?
Well, it's a very complicated question because you talked about several issues. And one was the barriers to entry. And if we started our own exchange from scratch and had to program the computer systems, the matching engine, you know, develop a clearinghouse and the compliance and surveillance functions that are typically associated with an exchange, it could take us a lot of money, a lot of time, and then after we even get that done, well, then everybody's, you know, a wait and see attitude about trying to connect to your exchange and cost money, and you know, there's a big issue and a big problem with that. So we needed to break down those barriers and partner with exchanges who have this infrastructure in place and the connectivity. And so all we need to do is, you know, define a symbol and people get turned on by just pulling up the quote. So that's the first part. The second part that you alluded to really is, well, how do you get people in there to trade? You know, where do you get the market makers? Who's going to do that? And that's always an issue with starting any contract. But for the CME's product, the euro currency that we're going to launch in February, we already have two market makers scheduled. We, in fact, talked to about four other market makers who heard about us, came to the show, and said that they were very interested. We obviously have some more talking and, you know, contracts to sign there, but we may be able to get, you know, four or five market makers in this product from day one. One of the reasons why they're interested in doing that is that there are some very good hedges or ways to lay off that risk. At least in a spread type fashion, not necessarily where there's an arbitrage or a one for one, but you know, the problem with you know, any market maker making markets is getting stuck in a position. And so if there's a way that they can mitigate that risk, then they're willing to take on some of that. And that brings up, there's one very interesting trade I'd love to talk about if you'd like to get into that now.
Sure, let's go ahead.
Well, let's talk about the concept first, and just think about this. You know, we close, you know, at 100, let's say, and the next day it goes down to 98 or it goes up to 102, a 2% move, and I don't really care. Since it's volatility, it's really like an absolute value function. It's a 2% move. I don't care that it was down or up. That's the whole idea behind volatility, right? Well, that is day to day. See, we're settling at the close to close each, or we're taking measurements close to close every day. What happens if the market's up 2% intraday? Okay, and now I give you the same scenario, okay, where it's only noon, we still have half of the day to trade, and the market can go down 2% or up 2%, you know, just as a simple example. Well, if it goes back down 2%, well, then that turns out to be a volatility value of zero for the day. If it goes up 2%, well, that's a 4% move, and because of the formula, and you square it, and that's huge. Okay, so there is a very strong directional trade here available to day traders, to algo traders, to market makers with the futures that is not available interday, because as soon as you get to the end of the day, we have the reading and we start over again, and now we don't know, well, are we going to go up or are we going to go down? There's no futures hedge there.
Yes.
Because you just have to pick the right way. But during the day, the market makers can lean on the futures.
Exactly. That's probably would start hitting that future very quickly once you saw, you know, the market rallying and vol selling off. They would dive right in to start hedging with your contract.
Absolutely. And this ability to tap into the liquidity of the underlying futures market to hedge their volatility exposure is just fabulous, and that's what's going to be able to get these, bring these market makers to the market to actually provide a, you know, a reasonable quote for somebody that's just trying to take a position in volatility.
So you definitely see your product then as additive to the overall volatility structure. I know I reviewed your website a little bit before we started recording. I know you had a big almost placard there that, you know, we are not competing with anyone, because obviously the first thing anyone thinks of when they hear of a volatility exchange is something to compete with the Cboe's suite of volatility products. And what you just mentioned is a good example of how the product could actually be additive, allowing people to have hedging and layoff opportunities, and that would probably in the long run drive a lot of traffic your way. I mean, like you said, a lot of liquidity providers, a lot of market makers, especially in this day and age when things are getting much tighter and much more difficult for them to have a new outlet to be able to lay off risk, especially intraday, like we mentioned, that would be a particularly interesting, I think, proposition for them. You mentioned you're launching with the CME currencies.
Yes.
Was there a methodology behind that choice? Was that just the first people who jumped on board? Why start there?
We were actually approached by the CME to license this product from them. Their market research revealed that currency would be one of the premier assets for a volatility contract. So it may not, I am not saying whether it would be or isn't our first choice, but that was their first choice. So we took the potential opportunity and ran with that. So that's where that came from. But we are exploring, as I said, other exchange partnerships with other asset classes, such as rates and equities or equity indices, and even some commodities such as energies or metals.
Yeah, you know, the CME has, to their credit, they have been very forward-looking in licensing and deals that would draw attention to their options products. They licensed the VIX, obviously, now they're bringing this in as well. And I think they seem to be doing a lot of interesting things to bring attention to that suite of products. And certainly by licensing the Volatex contracts, that definitely is bringing attention to what they have. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of other, you mentioned a lot of other things in the works. What would you say is the idealized underlying for your vol contract? A year from now, what's your ideal listing for Volex contracts?
It's very interesting because, you know, the market, the users are broken up into groups. You know, there are currency traders, there are interest rate traders, there are equity traders, and it depends on who you talk to. When you talk to an interest rate trader, they're like, either, you know, when are you going to launch on, you know, treasury bonds or euro dollars or Euribor in Europe? So it seems like no matter what group we talk to, they're very interested in listing the products. We were on the floor of the Coffee Sugar Cocoa Exchange, which is now, you know, now part of ICE. But, you know, these guys are very excited. Well, when are you bringing it to sugar? When are you bringing it to coffee? So there really is a fabulous hedge using our products and the options. You know, many option market makers delta hedge their position because that delta is direction, and what they do is they use the underlying futures to hedge that directional risk. But there still is a volatility risk component that vol contracts added on top of that can really help mitigate that risk. So it helps an options market maker provide tight quotes to you know, individuals or institutions that are, you know, using options to take positions. An options market maker is not using options to take a position. They're just trying to provide a service and get a few ticks or a few points outside of theoretical value. But they try to do that and then mitigate as much risk as possible, and their main risk right now is volatility, and they have really no way of mitigating that risk, and so they're very excited about having these vol contracts listed.
Now, you mentioned options. Obviously, we are an options-themed program, so I would be remiss if I did not ask you if somewhere down the line are you planning on listing options on the vol contract as well, or maybe you're going to let the exchange partners handle that. What is the plan to add other products to the or other, I guess, asset classes to the offering?
I would say for the foreseeable future, we will stick with a futures contract just because there are so many assets, so many vol contracts that we could list on. We just physically wouldn't have the time to start talking about derivatives on our derivatives. So, you know, that's a big undertaking. That starts getting involved different partners, you know, options exchanges generally. You know, that's on our radar screen, and I think we would like to do that. But it also gets a little bit more complicated, which is what we're trying to avoid. I mean, volatility is a little bit, you know, more sophisticated than certainly than just buying direction. But we're trying to make the formula as simple as possible, the contract as simple as possible. The multiplier, by the way, is $1,000 times the volatility, you know. So if it's a 20% volatility, then it's a $20,000 contract. We're going to be varying in 0.01 increments so that it's a $10 tick size. And we're trying to make everything as simple as possible. If you start listing options on that, well, that gets into a very sophisticated kind of trade now, because when you start talking about the gamma of the options on volatility, what are you getting? So you're getting a very interesting. I mean, there are a few guys in the world that could understand that right off the top of their head, but you really have to sit down and start thinking about what it is that you're getting when you have an option on a volatility instrument.
Yes, yes, definitely. We saw that in the early days of trying to hash out the options on the VIX, and I imagine the complications would be even more so for the vol contract. We're running a little bit low on time, but Robert, it sounds like, at the very least, with some liquidity providers interested and other people looking to join on, you have that first part of the puzzle ready to go.
Oh, thank you.
That's pretty much all I have for you, Robert, unless there's something else that you would like to add.
Would you like to talk about, you know, how we got to the idea or the patented concept?
Sure. Let's dive into that.
Okay. We do have a patent on the methodology that was actually filed in 2000. It took 8 years to get the patent. I still haven't gotten a good answer as to why it took so long, or maybe that's normal. But, you know, not until 2008. I've kind of kept quiet until then. And then after we received the patent on the methodology, then we started, you know, talking to the industry in earnest, you know, finding out what they thought of the idea. Are there any tweaks that we should make to make it right? Because I want it to be correct out of the box. I don't want to start trading, you know, and 3 months later think of something, you know, crazy or strange with the product that needs to be all redone, you know. So we've been talking to all kinds of market participants, whether they're, you know, hedge funds that are just sort of normal hedge funds like long short guys, or some of these esoteric funds that actually trade volatility. There are investment banks. We talked to even CFD houses in the UK. We're talking to obviously algo firms and market makers and exchanges. So we've had hundreds of meetings over the past year and a half or so, and really honed in on this product. And you know, it took a lot of effort to make it simple, and that was our goal. Now, obviously, you know, there's only so much simplicity you can do, but we tried to break down any issue, any way that this could be more complex than, you know, it had to be. So it's as simple as we could make it.
I'm glad you brought up the multiplier, because even the multiplier, 1,000 is large, but it isn't so enormous that retail is completely out of the equation with that. You know, it is a contract that could eventually have some high-end retail appeal as well.
Yeah, well, in that respect, the $1,000, there are going to be two sizes. The $1,000 multiplier that we talked about are for financial futures. And so mostly financial futures like euro dollars, S&P, currencies are more of the institutional players. So they could use the bigger size. Even though it's not that big, it's a bigger size. We plan to list $100 multipliers. Okay. For other products such as agricultural vol contracts, or maybe vol contracts on, let's say, ETFs.
Yeah. or equity products would have that same multiplier. Yeah, so
right.
that would translate one-to-one. That would make it even more palatable then for the retail audience.
Right.
Well, Robert, thank you very much for coming on the show. I think we could go on about this for quite some time.
I'd love to.
But we'll definitely have to bring you on again down the road a bit as we see some of these partnerships start to solidify. We can start seeing some contracts listed, and we can talk about actual volume. And I'm glad we could take a few minutes to bring you on the show here, and we'll definitely look forward to having you on again down the road.
Great. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Options Insider Radio. Be sure to visit www.theoptionsinsider.com for more episodes of this program, as well as breaking news from the options market, the latest articles and analysis from options experts, a wide variety of options education, and, of course, our discussion center, where you can share your questions, comments, and insights with your fellow Options Insider users. While you're there, be sure to register for our monthly email newsletter, as well as our free email alert system. Our email alert system makes it even easier to stay up to date on the latest content from theoptionsinsider.com. Thanks again for listening. My name is Mark Longo, and I'll see you next time on Options Insider Radio.
Options Insider Radio was created by Mark Longo and produced by Gene Crotty. Options Insider Radio is a production of the Options Insider Incorporated, all rights reserved.